And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Awakening Podcast here on American Family Radio. It is great to be with you again today. Wow, I've got some very, very serious topics to discuss with you today. I hope that all of you are getting ready for the Christmas holidays. I am always excited by Christian holidays because they're reminders of all that God has done for us. And Christmas is upon us, so please don't allow all the pressures of the season, the financial pressures, the gift-giving pressures, and all of that to burden you. Be uplifted by the fact that God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, laid in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, to be the Savior of the world and to die on the cross for our sins. That's what Christmas is ultimately all about. And whether you have a lot of money or a little money, should not in any way diminish or add to your joy, because joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. That's what Christmas is ultimately all about. And we ought to all constantly remind ourselves of that. So, Merry Christmas, everybody. Now, you'll hear me say that probably on more than one occasion between now and the Christmas holidays. But look, now and Christmas Day, at least. The first thing I want to talk about, because it is burning in me to get it out of the way, to jump into this, and I hope I'll be able to cover other topics, but this is a big one, and that is the Daniel Penny acquittal. First of all, let me just say, praise God. Folks, I was as elated over his acquittal as if he were my own family member. I'm serious. It really just, it blessed me. Because, first of all, before I get into some of the other things, first of all, this is a human being who, in a moment of potential danger and threat, stepped in to mitigate that threat or eliminate that threat. This is a young man with no criminal record. He has no record of assaults. He has no record of looking for fights and looking for to get into fracas. I mean, the young man has lived. We know he's not perfect any more than you and I are, but he has lived an exemplary life. And to threaten this young man with prison because he stepped in to a dangerous situation and gave some sense of security to all the people who were on that train who were feeling threatened by the perp, who was obviously mentally ill, drug-addled, but who was just making everybody feel that their lives could end at any moment. And folks, I'm convinced that's literally the way people felt. Well, does he have a knife? Does he have a gun? What if he hurts me? What if he hurts one of my children? I mean, who knows what all people were thinking on that train, but they were all frightened by this out of control young man who, by the way, already had a criminal record, already had a violent record. And Daniel Penny steps in and takes down that threat, but in the process, unintentionally, at the very least, is alleged to have, because I don't really believe that he caused the man's death. I think that the drugs and everything else that was going on in his life is really responsible for his death. But Daniel Penny's action is then deemed the precipitating cause, and they threaten to take this young man's freedom away and put him in jail. Now, folks, you and I have seen these stories of people committing vicious assaults, assaults on police, assaults on women, robberies, and they walk out of jail after being held for an hour because of the cashless bail policy of New York, and they go back on the streets to do it all over again. We've heard stories, many stories, not just one or two, but many stories of illegal aliens who were released by the local authorities, who then went out and murdered some young woman or murdered some kid or raped some girl. We've seen all of these instances of just a gross failure, a monumental failure to enforce the law for the safety of the average American citizen who simply wants to go about their business and do what they have to do in life. And Daniel Penny, who steps in to try to protect people, is threatened with up to 15 years in prison. Well, it's like these little old ladies protesting out in front of abortion clinics. They're putting them in jail left and right. And you got these barbaric killers and rapists and robbers roaming the streets of our cities with impunity. So just as a human being who cares about the lives and the pain, the suffering of other human beings, I am so glad that Daniel Penny was on that train. It is tragic that the young man who lost his life had spiraled downward to the point where he comes into confrontation with Daniel Penny and everybody on that train, threatening them, and in the process, he loses his life. And that's tragic, but that is not Daniel Penny's fault. That's the fault of that young man and the fault of the system. But how many weeks has it been now that he's been on trial? I think about 3 weeks he's been on trial. Threatened with losing his liberty. Again, this is not a young man where he has no criminal record. I mean, not to put too fine a point on it, but the guy studies classical music. And he's, I don't know whether you saw any of Janine, not that that proves anything one way or the other, but it does kind of paint an image of what kind of person he is. I mean, that this is not a guy who's out looking for trouble. You know, this is a guy who is just trying to live his life and be the best person he can be. And in that moment, and I want to get into his Marine Corps background in a second, but in that moment stepped in as a fellow human being to help his fellow citizens who were on that train. And we saw all but one witness, a homeless advocate. All the witnesses said they were frightened, that they were glad. And as somebody pointed out, there was a black guy who stepped in with Daniel Penny and helped hold the guy down. But because Daniel Penny had the chokehold on him, they didn't charge that young guy, which again proves something else to me, which is, had it been reverse, had it been a black guy who subdued a white guy who was acting erratic on the train and threatening people, the charges would never have been brought. Because Alvin Bragg is a race man. He has what you have heard me talk about. He has ROS, racial obsession syndrome. And racial obsession syndrome is a mental illness. I have dubbed it so. It is a mental illness that causes you to see life in a skewed, delusional way. And that's the way Alvin Bragg sees the world. He sees the world. Alvin Bragg has a moral as well as a mental illness, because he is willing, and the Bible warns against this too, he is willing to punish the just and exonerate the wicked, to punish the righteous and exonerate the evil. And so, I mean, Daniel Penny would have been another feather in his cap. I guess, like Donald Trump, he got this pseudo-nonsense conviction of Donald Trump for, as far as I'm concerned, just a whole lot of nothing with a biased New York jury. And thank God they saw through it this time and realized, wait a minute, I could have been on that train and this guy would have been protecting me. I don't see this young man has committed a crime at all. I just don't see it. I think when things went terribly bad for the young man who was misbehaving, but that wasn't Daniel Penny's fault. Daniel Penny just took reasonable action. Okay. I just wanted to get that out and frame that in the context of our common humanity. Okay, before we get into the other factors, our common humanity. Here's a man who stepped in to help his fellow citizens. And by the way, his fellow citizens on that train were white and black and male and female and children and adults. I mean, there were people from all kinds of backgrounds. Okay, so now let's get into what I want the theme of the program to be. Justice versus social justice. Now, see, what I just described to you with the verdict outcome, the dismissal of the manslaughter charges and the not guilty on negligent homicide, what I just described to you is justice. But all the rabble rousers and the crazies and the race obsessed people, what they want is not justice. They want social justice. And those are two very different things. Justice, you see, requires no qualifier, because justice is always inextricably intertwined with righteousness. Justice is always paired with and bound up with right. What is just is what is right. And right is not man's call ultimately, it's God's call. Now we have to interpret that within the context of our lives and circumstances, yes. But it's supposed to be with reference to God's standards set forth for mankind. And in this case, of course, honor, compassion, protecting the weak and the vulnerable, defending those who are under attack. Those kinds of principles which undergird our Judeo-Christian way of life are what we saw in action in Daniel Penny. Daniel Penny was doing something just. He was doing something right. He was protecting the innocent and vulnerable human beings that were on that train under threat by Jordan Neely. I hadn't used his name, but by Jordan Neely. I don't mean to dehumanize the young man. But he was protecting them from the threat that Jordan Neely posed to them. He was doing what was right. But you see, social justice is something different, isn't it? Because social justice says, I don't care about those circumstances. I don't care about Daniel Penny and what was in his mind or in his heart. All I care about is the fact that Daniel Penny is white and Jordan Neely is black. And therefore, since I can point to historic injustices against many black people, not all, by the way, but against many black people throughout the history of this country, I want to punish Daniel Penny because he is black, and because he is white, and I want to reward Jordan Neely because he's black. That's social justice. And it's wrong. It's wrong. Because what you're doing is you're punishing the innocent in order to exact some kind of revenge or payback or whatever for historic wrongs that people you don't know, that we don't know, that are long since dead, have done, you're going to punish this particular person for that. How in the world is that justice? And social justice is not justice at all. Social justice really should be seen as tribal vengeance. That's a better phrase for it. It's not social justice, it's tribal vengeance. We want to make somebody pay for things that someone else did in the past that has nothing to do with the person whose circumstance is in question, and nothing to do with the victim who people at least put in the class of a victim, has nothing to do with that person. But we want to treat it as if this is simply playing out the larger stage of historic wrongs that have been done. And we're going to treat these people not as individuals in a particular circumstance. We're going to treat them as emblems of a broader issue. Which is, folks, that's not just wrong. That is wicked. It is evil. Now, the Bible says that in the Old Covenant, it says the days are coming. It was predicting, because, you know, the Bible says God visited the sins upon the children to the third and fourth generation. But he said, but the day is coming when no longer will the father eat sour grapes and the children's teeth be set on edge. In other words, the children are not going to pay for the sins of their parents, but each one will pay for his own sins. But see, social justice says, no. If you happen to be an American of European ancestry, you should pay for the sins. And by the way, as I pointed out before, the main sin they're talking about is the sin of slavery. And then, of course, Jim Crow and racial ideology, no question, poisoned our country and infected a lot of people. But every American of European ancestry should pay for that. And every American of African ancestry should be rewarded or awarded something to pay for that. Even though you yourself, me for example, I can't point to any circumstance in which I can say, well, you know, if it weren't for racism, I would. I tell you what, I can point more to if I were not a conservative, I would. I mean, I'm convinced if I were not conservative, my book would have been a national bestseller. But the mainstream media, they're not going to cover a book like Sweet Land of Liberty, Reflections of a Patriot Descended from Slaves, because they don't like the narrative. They don't like the narrative of a black man saying, I love my country, and my country is worthy of my love and worthy of my honor and worthy of my service. They don't like that. Now, if I wrote some book full of diatribes about how I'm a victim and all white people are wicked and they're, you know, oh man, that would have, they the biggest publishers in America would have been happy to publish that, and they'd have had me on the Marxist Socialist No Brains channel and the Communist News Network and ABC and NBC talking about, just explain to us your anguish over how America has failed you. But no, I read a book defending my country and justifying my country, and you think they're interested? No. But it's not because of the color of my skin. I've suffered more discrimination in my life as a result of being conservative than I ever have as a result of being black. Now, that's the truth. And I can name chapter and verse on that. You ask me, when have you been discriminated against for being black? I'm not saying that people have not had bad thoughts about me or whatever, that I haven't encountered racists who maybe said something to somebody else. I don't know, but I do know this. Nobody's ever done anything to me. I mean, I was in Boston during the whole busing fiasco, and I saw a lot of racial tension, but it didn't really affect me. And I'm not saying it didn't affect anybody, but it didn't affect me. I wasn't a part of that. I didn't have young children who were being bused, so it didn't affect me. And by the way, and I am not denying that there may have been racial prejudice that affected some people, maybe many people who felt it. Although, you know, using the busing example is a bad example because I really believe that all the elites who concocted that scheme and exempted themselves from it were a bunch of hypocrites who enjoyed pitting people against each other. And that's another story. I won't get into that. So let me come back to this Daniel Penny situation. So Daniel Penny did the right thing. Daniel Penny did the just thing. And the people who are now out there screaming about the not guilty verdict, those are people of social justice, which means those are people of tribal vengeance. That's really what they want. They don't want justice. They want tribal vengeance. And you heard some of what they said. One guy said, "We need to raise up some black vigilantes." I guess what are they supposed to do? Go out and just kill white people willy-nilly, I guess. I mean, this stuff is wicked. It's evil. I mean, you ask me, who would I rather sit in a room with? Give me Daniel Penny every time over these nutcases. No, listen, I'm being kind to call them nutcases. I would choose Daniel Penny any day of the week and twice on Sunday over these wicked, evil, disgustingly vile people who want to bring the patina, the overview of social, their social justice with the tribal vengeance to bear on Daniel Penny. What they would really love is to see Daniel Penny get killed. I mean, just like a lot of them were hoping that Donald Trump would get killed. They want to see Daniel Penny get killed. I mean, you're calling them vigilantes. What's the point? We know what the point is. The same point is calling Donald Trump Hitler and a dictator and all that. You're trying to stir someone up to go and do him harm and maybe wipe him off the face of the earth. I mean, these people are wicked. So I wanted to get that framework out of the way. And then I want to talk about something that's a little bit more personal to me. I am also a Marine Corps veteran. You know, I know people say he's a former Marine, but you know, that's not the culture of Marines. We don't call ourselves former Marines. We don't call ourselves ex-Marines. We are Marines for the rest of our lives. So I am a Marine Corps veteran. That's the proper way to refer to a Marine. This is a Marine Corps veteran, not this is a former Marine. This is a Marine Corps veteran. This is my fellow leatherneck. And I say, hoorah, semper fi, do or die, brother. I am so godly proud of him for carrying out duty, honor, commitment in that circumstance. You know, I've said, I took an oath to the Constitution when I joined the United States Marine Corps on August 4th, 1970. That oath never had an expiration date. Well, neither does the call to courage, to commitment, to duty, to honor. It never has an expiration date. And folks, I don't know whether you've heard, excuse me, any of Jeanine Pirro's interview with him. They played a couple excerpts yesterday. And I'll tell you, I was moved. I mean, I was emotionally moved because this is a guy who is humble, unassuming, just rational, reasonable. You know, the decency of this guy just it emanates from it. You just look at this guy and think, they want to put this man in jail. You know, here's what I've been thinking. And then the acquittal sort of crystallized it all. Instead of doing drag queen ads trying to get people to join the military. Hey, join the military. You can be a drag queen. You can be a sexual deviant. And who knows, maybe we'll even put you in a library and put some children around you that you can feel on. I mean, I really do hope that Pete Hegseth gets confirmed, because see, he's going to clean up all that nonsense. He will put an end to all that junk. But if you want to do an ad to encourage people to join the military, you put up Daniel Petty's face and you say duty, commitment, honor. That's what we represent. Caring and concern for our fellow citizen, defending their liberty, defending their safety and security. That's what we represent. Not some stupid man in a bunch of makeup and a blonde wig prancing around like a... It's just thoroughly disgusting. But now Daniel Penny, he is the paradigm of what the military represents. And certainly, if I may say, what the Marine Corps represents. He is the paradigm. You know, I am grateful to God that I joined the Marine Corps. If I had to do it over again, I would do the same thing. I wouldn't choose another branch. It would be the Marine Corps. I think sometimes I was offered to go to officer training school. I think sometimes that I should have done that, but then who knows what plan, God's plan was for me, and I wasn't listening to God at the time, so I can't say, well, the Lord didn't tell me to do that, or the Lord told me to do this, that, or the other, because I wasn't listening to God. But then I know God has a plan for us all, and who knows, if I'd gone to officer's training school, my life might have been very different. Who knows, I could have ended up being in Vietnam, ended up dead. Yeah, nobody really knows, but for whatever reason, I didn't do that. But I'll tell you what, I am grateful to God, and I am proud of my service in the United States Marine Corps. And a man like Daniel Penny makes me even more proud to call myself a Marine. Because to me, he represents what the Marine Corps is. That we train men. The Marine Corps trains men, and of course now women, but it's always been primarily men in the Corps. To fight for the liberty, the safety, and the security of our fellow citizens. That is what we're trained to do. And I'll tell you, I am proud to call myself a Marine, and I am so proud of Daniel Penny. I am so proud of him. Like I said, I don't know him personally. I'd love to meet him one day. I don't know him personally. But, you know, I met Oz, who was part of the whole Benghazi situation. And these guys just, man, they just melt my heart. Because these are warriors who are prepared to put their lives on the line for you and me. And so, I mean, I'd love to meet him one day, but even if I never meet him, I feel about him like he's a brother, like he's a close friend, because of what he exemplified on that day in that subway. And look, I realize Jordan Neely's death is tragic. And I don't mean in any way to diminish the death of a fellow human being, because he is a fellow human being too. But it's not Daniel Penny's fault. Frankly, I wonder, we don't know. I wonder, what kind of family did Jordan Neely come from? I wonder, this is a man in desperate need of a mental health treatment. What was available to him? What was given to him? What efforts were made to try to rein him in, to bring him under control, to stop him from being a threat to himself and to others? What was done? My guess is a whole lot of nothing. And now you get these idiots like Alvin Bragg who want to make up for all of that by punishing Daniel Penny for having stepped into the situation that the Alvin Braggs of the world created, which is lawless, dangerous people wandering our streets and threatening us and accosting us and assaulting us and killing us. Killing law-abiding citizens, going about their business, simply trying to do whatever life calls upon them to do, and do it in a decent, law-abiding, peaceful way. And along comes some thug, some criminal, some mentally ill person who's got murder in his heart, and suddenly your life has turned into a drama. With you as the potential Vic. Don't blame Daniel Penny. Blame George Soros and all these two-bit punk prosecutors that he puts up who are so filled with Marxist delusions that they're willing to sacrifice the law-abiding citizens of our country for some skewed, perverse notions they have about social justice, which I realize we need to start calling it tribal vengeance, because that's really all it is. And vengeance against whom? Against innocent people who've done nothing to anybody. But since they can point to some historic wrong done by somebody to somebody else, they're going to make you pay. You, Daniel Penny, we're going to make you pay for it. It's preposterous. And again, that's a mild word, because it's wicked, it's evil, it's disgusting. So I'll tell you, I praise God. Listen, I don't put it on the same level as the outcome of the election, but I'll tell you what, it's up there. Daniel Penny's acquittal is up there. Because just in the gladness that my heart has experienced as a result, because I would have been brokenhearted if they put this man in jail. I'm serious. I'd have been saying, Lord, is there anything I can do to help this man? So thank God his fellow citizens rose to the occasion, looked beyond all the stupid leftist hype, and looked beyond the stupidity of Alvin Bragg, and looked at the facts, and looked at the law, and looked at Daniel Penny as a person, and gave the only verdict that you could reasonably come to in the situation, which is not guilty. Indeed, I'll go beyond that, because not guilty means we didn't have enough proof to hold you guilty. But in this case, not guilty means innocent. He's innocent. He's done nothing wrong. They didn't prove him to do any wrongdoing because he didn't do anything wrong. So praise God for that. Well, okay. I think I've said what needs to be said about that. And we just thank God. I'm looking forward to see what Daniel Penny does with his life. Apparently he says, I don't like the attention. I don't like being in the spotlight. That's really not me. So we'll see what he does. I don't know his spiritual condition. We all need to be praying for him, because I pray that he knows God's grace spared him what the devil wanted to do to him, because the devil wanted to put him in jail, and there are leftists out there who still want to see him now, want to see him dead. They hope some vigilante arises. They said so, right? We need racism. We need to raise up some black vigilantes. I mean, give me a break. Please. So there are people out there who still like to see him. Now, they obviously like to see him harmed or killed. So we need to be praying for him, and I'm looking forward to see what what he does with his life, and I pray what God does with him and for him now that he's gotten through this ordeal, and really, I think, set a bar. And, but let me add one more thing before I move on to the death of this, the murder of this health insurance executive. Or, you know, thank God for men. Now, you know, the left has spent almost a generation trying to emasculate men. They drove black men from the home. They'll anybody who gets caught up in the welfare system, they'll drive the men out of the home and incentivize single-parent, female-headed households, emasculate the men. The feminist movement came along. Masculinity is toxic, and men are dangerous, and all men are assaulting women, and blah, 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 blah. Thank God for men, and thank God for manhood. Daniel Penny stood up in that subway as a man. And again, no matter what these leftists say about there's no difference between men and women, and this stupid idiot of a Supreme Court justice who doesn't have the intellect of an ant and shouldn't be on the Supreme Court because of things she said even since then when asked, what is a woman? Oh, I don't know. I'm not a biologist. Well, in spite of all of that stupidity, Daniel Penny on that subway demonstrated there's a difference between men and women, because in the end, it was two men who subdued Jordan Neely. One white, one black, that doesn't matter a whit. But two men subdued Jordan Neely. While the women, and of course, most of the men, I'm not condemning the men in any way, but two men stood up and took action. Thank God for manhood. Thank God for the testosterone that runs throughout our bodies. Thank God for the sense of masculinity and the sense of appropriate aggression. Thank God for the spirit of defense and protection of our families and innocent people. Thank God for it. Men, we don't owe anybody an apology for being men. And we don't owe anybody an apology for acting like men and thinking like men and talking like men. And Daniel Penny showed himself to be a man. And there's nothing wrong with it. That's the way God made us. And frankly, I'm glad about it. Praise the Lord for it. I'm convinced. I said this, I think, long before anybody else said it. And I think it's come to pass. I said one of the reasons why the left hates Donald Trump is that he's a little too much man for them. And I think now one of the reasons why so many black men voted for Donald Trump is that they like his manhood. They like the fact that this is a guy who stands up, who will not back down, who does not try to change who he is to satisfy the world. He is authentic. He is tough. He is forthright. And I think men admire that because, frankly, folks, we need more men like that. So praise God for men, and praise God for Daniel Penny, who stood up as a man and did what a man ought to do. All right. Well, let's see. I don't have a whole lot of time left, but let me, in the time that I have left, get into this insurance executive's assassination, because, and while there's so many things I could mention, you know, just before I get to that, you know, Biden released after the election $10 billion more in sanction relief to Iran. Now, why would he do that? Why would he do that? You know, to me, it's almost like saying, I hate America, I hate Israel, I hate Jews, and I'm gonna empower our greatest enemy to do us more harm. I mean, why would you do that? Is there any... I mean, folks, it's just beyond the pale. Well, on to this insurance executive. You know, Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas, as Donald Trump likes to call her, is saying, in fact, let me quote her because I want to point out something. She's saying that it was wrong to slay this executive. It was wrong. Brian Thompson is his name, UnitedHealthcare CEO. It was wrong to assassinate him. And then she has this. She says this. But, and you know what I've always said, taught, and what I was taught. When you make a statement and then you say, but, what you do is negate everything you just said. What you mean is ignore what I just said. Because what's really important is what I'm about to say. So, violence is never the answer. This guy gets a trial, who allegedly killed the CEO of UnitedHealthcare. But, you can only push people so far, and then they start to take matters into their own hands. Now, that's what she really means, and that's what she really wants to say, that this assassination was justified. Now, see, again, these people are wicked, because you know what she's thinking? Social justice. What is social justice? It's tribal vengeance. The tribe of people who feel they've been wronged by the healthcare system have a right to kill this guy who's the CEO of a healthcare company. And, you know, the left is constantly accusing Donald Trump and us, meaning all of us who voted for him, supported him, is constantly accusing us of being fascist, being violent, being extremist. I mean, Christian nationalists, which is likening us to Nazis, of course, and the Nazis weren't Christians. But nevertheless, they come up with all these terms to try to suggest that we are the dangerous people. Right, right. If you are a constitutionalist, that makes you dangerous. If you are a Catholic who goes to traditional mass, that makes you dangerous. If you are a former member of the military, if anything that upholds the values of our country, anything that suggests patriotism, love of America, anything that suggests adherence to traditional moral values and code, means that you are a dangerous person. You're violent. No, we're not. All the Tea Party events I attended throughout the country when the Tea Party was really at its zenith, no violence, none. Cleaned up after our events and made sure we left the grounds that we used pristine. No violence of any kind whatsoever. And I saw many black people in attendance at Tea Party rallies, not as many as I would have liked to have seen. Not even a hint of mistreatment, not even a hint of racism, not even a hint of anything racial whatsoever. But the mainstream media was always trying to paint the Tea Party as a bunch of angry white men. It's a lie out of the pit of hell. Tribal vengeance is what they're after. They want to divide us. They want to convince us, you know, it's us against them. These are the bad people. So in this case, it's the healthcare industry, and this is the CEO of the healthcare industry, who Elizabeth Warren is saying, in effect, based upon what I just showed you, what I just quoted you, is saying, in effect, he deserved to die. Well, it's never right to take an innocent person's life, but you can only push people so far, and then they take matters into their own hands. These people are seriously evil. See, I would never make a statement like that. Because if somebody has done something wrong or evil, I'm going to condemn that and not put any qualifier on it, because I know the moment you put a qualifier on it, you are justifying the evil. That's why social justice really is just a euphemism for socialism and state power to redistribute wealth. That's all it is. At the point of a gun, because that's what state power is. State power always says we will first begin with verbal or written orders, but if you refuse to follow them, we will eventually come and take you and put you in prison. That's really what it always boils down to. It's socialism might begin with rhetoric, but it ends at the point of a gun. So, look, this man, I obviously didn't know him. I don't know his politics. I don't care what his politics were. This was a human being with a family who did not deserve to be gunned down in the street like a dog. That's not who we are as Americans. That's not how we handle our business. But look, so we've had two assassination attempts on Donald Trump. Now we've got one healthcare CEO assassinated. And who's carrying these things out? People of the left. You don't see conservatives trying to assassinate anybody on the left. And of course, if anybody who associated themselves as conservative or with conservatism tried to do that, we would all roundly condemn it and say, I will have nothing whatsoever to do with that kind of behavior. It's wrong. We as Christians know you cannot overcome evil with evil. We overcome evil with good. And don't get me wrong, there is a right of self-defense. There's a right to defend ourselves, our families, our country. But we don't go out and target people for assassination because we don't like their policies or we don't agree with them. Well, look, folks, that's going to do it for today. Daniel Penny was the main thing I wanted to get to, and I'm glad I had an opportunity to have a fairly thorough discussion about that. I want to thank all of you again for supporting American Family Radio. Please like our podcast, share our podcast. Help me to get more people listening to it. And by the way, we're recording these on video too and developing an archive of these. And at some point, we're going to release these and make these available online on social media so that you can also watch them in another way. But of course, first, always go to American Family Radio, AFR.net on Wednesdays. And that's when you'll be able to hear The Awakening Podcast with your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson. Well, you all know what to do. Stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up. You know what? That's what Donald Trump did. That's what Daniel Penny did. And man, that's a pretty good model. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.